And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back here to our recruiting and PJ Fleck edition of the podcast. I know there was some talk on Gopher Illustrated earlier this, or I put it out during the coaching search, I think.
Yep.
That we could potentially have Jay Sobel on in person someplace. Well, life happens, and he is currently out on the road interviewing at different Power 5 schools for his next job opportunity. So I think, in a perfect world, and from what I had been told on his side of things, it was going to work out. But here we are Thursday evening recording, and there's no Jay Sobel. So I apologize for getting people's hopes up that we could potentially do something like that. But here we are, PJ Fleck edition, Luke.
Oh, yeah, row the boat. I mean,
row the damn boat.
Okay, let's actually, I got a few quick hitting questions for you
First off, Luke, I have to tell you, this is going to be an elite edition of the podcast. If we don't get in our mandatory 20 elites and row the boats in this podcast, I don't think we're starting off the PJ Fleck era with a bang like we should be.
Oh, I will admit that I am not a big fan of the jargon. I will be the first to admit that I am a cynic when it comes to the jargon. Oh boy. If he wins, I'm going to be all on board. I'm going to be on board regardless, but I've poked my fun at Mr. Fleck, and I appreciate his enthusiasm and his constant positivity, but I prefer to see the results, and I realize he's won at Western Michigan, but man, I don't love the jargon. I don't care who it is. I just don't love it.
You have to get used to it, because I can tell you
It's not going anywhere. I get it.
Yeah, it's not going anywhere, and you're going to hear it a ton from the staff, no matter what kind of thing they're talking about. Elite and row the damn boat.
Okay, real quick, just before we get into any real football talk, Ryan, what are you averaging per night in terms of hours slept?
I feel really good right now, actually, because today's the first day of the open period, which means I could get decent amounts of sleep. So I think 6-7 hours is pretty good.
That is good. I was expecting way less.
Our last podcast before signing day, I'm going to sound very irritable because I'm going to be on my fourth cup of coffee from the day. And just from here, it goes downhill in terms of nights of sleep, especially with a brand new recruiting staff, a brand new coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not as tuned in, I guess I should say, considering – I had a lot of good people on that staff that were very kind to me, and now there's a brand new staff in here, that means I have to work even harder for our Gopher Illustrated members to try and figure out the latest and the greatest and where they're going to be, who's coming in on the weekend visits. So I feel fantastic today as we're recording this, but 2 weeks from now, I'm guessing not in as good of a place, Luke.
All right. So let's actually start on the recruiting front. If you've paid any attention to Gopher Twitter, you paid any attention to GopherIllustrated.com, you should know that there was a mass influx of one-time Western Michigan commits. I think the grand total is somewhere in the 9 to 10 range. What's the official number now, Ryan?
9 Western Michigan flips and one other commit that PJ had high on his list, but there were 9 that flipped.
Okay, yep. So we're basically at 10 new players, of which I'm not even going to take an attempt at naming any of them because I truly don't know. But just from a really high level on some of these guys, Ryan, I mean, what are we getting here? Are we getting a better quality player? Are we getting are we getting a player that says elite a lot more? What do we got?
Yeah, so what you're getting is, in terms of quality, I think that the kids are higher rated. I mean, you look at 9 of these 10, I think there was only one 2-star in the group that he flipped that wasn't as highly rated. And that's just a kid that we at Scout.com haven't had a chance to really evaluate his senior tape yet or see in person. Because if they commit to a school and, there isn't a star ranking assigned to them, they immediately go to 2 stars. Until someone's able to check their film. So, and that one 2-star is Ezi Omotiwu. I'm sure I butchered that far too badly.
Can you even bet you can spell it, right?
Oh, I can spell it just fine. I've written it plenty of times. But he's someone that has multiple other Power Five offers. And what you should take away from this is there's been 9 flips from Western Michigan, but there's also been 5 decommits, air quotes, from Minnesota. And these are all kids basically on the offensive side of the ball. So, you know, one place that Minnesota struggled compared to on the defensive side of the ball. And we'll have to see how that plays out. But I can tell you I'm excited about PJ Fleck talent evaluations in terms of on the offensive side of the ball. That's where he had a lot of success at Western Michigan. And I think the name to know is the quarterback, and shocker how that happens. But he's a kid by the name of Tanner Morgan, someone we have in the top 60 rated quarterbacks here in the class of 2017. A kid from Kentucky who had other Power 5 offers from Louisville, Wake Forest, and Cincinnati. So not every day that you get a kid from Kentucky with a legitimate Louisville offer at one time to come sight unseen to the University of Minnesota. And that's one of the other things I want to talk about is Minnesota's picked up 10 new commitments. But, folks, you realize that they're all 10 have yet to see, like, the state of Minnesota yet. They've yet to be on campus. And I think it says a lot that these 10 are willing to commit to a coach and, you know, and an idea and a program that they believe in and what PJ Fleck was doing at Western Michigan in that row of the boat in his elite program there.
So
go ahead.
So I want to interrupt you there. This is something I've been interested in for a long time. You know, I'm not, I'm by no means a recruiting bobo by any stretch of the imagination. That's not my wheelhouse. So I'm curious, especially, you know, basketball recruiting is a totally different thing. That's something I follow a lot more closely. But in football recruiting, how much of this is, you know, committing to a program versus committing to a coach versus committing to just a university in general? How does that go? Like, how would you kind of rate that, or where's the power structure there? Is it 30% coach, 30% this?
I think each kid's different.
Yeah.
Like, you look at a kid like Blaze Andrews, you know, Minnesota's top commit. He's going to be a fantastic offensive lineman here at the University of Minnesota if he can stay healthy, which we've obviously had. That's, you know, health is something that – anyways. So, I mean, Blaze is committed to this university, so it didn't matter with the coaching staff. But then you look at these kids.
Yeah.
And, yes, Minnesota offers them a chance to play in the Big Ten, and I think that plays a large part of it as well. But they also are committing to a coach who they know is going to be here for their time here, more than likely their 4 or 5 years here. And, again, each kid is different. Each kid has his priorities, some having in the coaching staff, some having in academics, some having them playing time. I mean, each one is different. So
okay, let me ask this a different way then. How much of this is or what's the difference between Fleck and the previous staff, or even like even when Jerry Kill was there, right? Like, how much more brand recognition, for lack of a better term,
I think there's a ton more with PJ. I mean, you saw the amount of national attention in a positive light that Minnesota was getting when PJ Fleck was hired. I mean, you saw him on SportsCenter, you saw it all over the national news. That's all people were talking about for that 24, 48 hour period of time, was Minnesota was able to get the hottest coach in college football, the 36-year-old PJ Fleck. And he's someone that brings a lot of excitement, a lot of energy. And I'm telling you, folks, from being around PJ Fleck here to start things, he has the most genuine, legitimate energy you will find. And I know, you know, some people probably think it's an act he puts on for the camera or for the people when they show up on Saturdays, but it's legitimate. Like, that man has that amount of energy all the damn time, and it doesn't matter. Like, I think it was Dave Campbell from the Associated Press that tweeted out afterwards that when you left Tim Brewster's press conference, you thought you were being sold into a Ponzi scheme, but when you left PJ Fleck, you left thinking you were going to go run a marathon and you were going to complete that, damn it. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's just the way he is, and he brings a lot of attention with him. Obviously, a 13-1 season at Western Michigan, top-rated recruiting class the last 4 years. It's going to bring a lot of attention with his youth and everything around it, but I think it's a good thing for the positive light here at the University of Minnesota.
So, you know, with his brand and with, you know, kind of the success that he had at Western Michigan, is it that much easier for him to recruit? especially here in this short turnaround, or even going forward? Or, you know, did the previous staff more so have to sell them on, you know, the university, the conference, and all those other things that they need to try and sell? Or do you think you'll see more of these kind of like sight unseen commitments just based on the relationship and brand?
Oh, I think it'll be both. I mean, the more he, you want to phrase that question there once again, Luke?
Yeah. So I guess what I'm trying to get at is, do you believe that they can go to another level in recruiting with PJ Fleck? Because
yes.
Okay.
Yes. The short answer is yes. The long answer as to why is because what he's also assembled on his staff.
Okay.
And we'll get into it a little bit later, but I am so high on this offensive line. And I'll get into the reasons why, but you're bringing with some guys that have some flair. You're bringing with some guys that have some recognition, and you put together the fact that PJ is not afraid to go against, even from what he's done here in the last 4 or 5 days in terms of the guys he's targeting. I mean, he's targeting other Big Ten commits. He's targeting SEC commits. He's targeting Pac-12 commits. He's not afraid to go against them. Now, the bottom line is 20 days from now, is he going to be signing them on the dotted line? Because that's a lot different than targeting them to actually getting them. And I think it's fitting that I use the word targeting in a Minnesota football podcast, considering they did lead the FBS in targeting penalties. But I think he will be able to recruit at a higher level here. You have the facilities coming in. You are in the Big Ten West. And you have a pretty good team to begin with. I mean, all those factors, there isn't or there should not be any rebuilding years
sure.
at the University of Minnesota. So if you have sustained success on the field, put that together with where you are in terms of location, the Twin Cities, brand new facilities opening in sometime around a year from now. I mean, I think the sky is the limit in terms of, you know, and when I say that is I don't expect Minnesota to compete with Ohio State, Michigan, you know, those teams that are perennially in the top 15. I think if they can settle somewhere consistently between 30 and 40, mm-hmm. again, that would be, if that consistently is happening, that just doesn't happen very often at Minnesota. I don't think it's happened since maybe the first year of Brewster. And I think we all know who that worked out, considering he didn't know how to develop talent. Mm-hmm. But I think PJ has proven on the offensive side of the ball, he knows what he's doing. Now, can he continue that success on the defensive side of the ball? That'll remain to be seen. But for those looking for the improvement in recruiting, I think you are going to see it in this class. You've already seen it in this class. But 2018 is the year that I think he's going to come out swinging and try to get some of these really highly rated kids. And again, he can go out and target them, but he has to land them. And we'll have to see how he finishes out this class, but it could be an exciting last 20 days here. That's for sure.
Okay. You want to go by or go kind of player by player of the new guys? Do you want to give like a kind of an elevator pitch on some of those?
Yeah. Yeah, we can do that. So I'm just going to be reading here off Gopher Illustrated's 2017 football commits list. And if for any of the new subscribers to GR that are listening, I can't thank you guys enough. We did run a 4-for-1 sale. I'm sure you saw it on the Twitter machine, and I'm sorry you saw my 140 character pitches on why you should join GI, but the response we got was overwhelming, and I can't thank you guys enough. And we'll talk about it at the end of the podcast, but if you guys are around the Twin Cities next Thursday, I am going to be at Stub and Herbs for a goal line club event, and I would love to meet you guys in person. So let's start out with the first name that I butchered. His name is Ezi Otumiwu, and he is a 6'6" defensive end from Indianapolis, someone that picked up Purdue, Syracuse, and I believe he has one other Big Ten offer as well, someone with a lot of length, someone that can he's still learning how to bend the corner, I guess I should say, but he's got a lot of length, a lot of athleticism that you can do a lot of things with at 6'6". Noah Hickscock is a defensive lineman from Boylan Central Catholic, which is the same high school as current Gopher quarterback Demry Croft. We have him rated as one of the best 100 defensive ends in the country here at scout.com. I don't think defensive end is where he ends up. I think he's going to be someone similar to Andrew Stelter, where he's going to come here, put on weight, and he's got a lot of drive, and he's got a heck of a backstory too, where he lost his father earlier I believe in sometime in the last 12 months. And he made a promise to him that he was going to play Big Ten football. So when Fleck went to Minnesota and he got the call that he wanted to come with, it was very emotional for his family. And that's a kid, I don't care who you are, that you really want to work, you really want to root for. Then we get to the wide receiver who we have. It is the 85th best wide receiver. So it's mid-level to high-level three-star. His name is Chris Bell. He is from Illinois. He's from Bishop McNamara. Again, I am going to trust PJ Fleck until given reason otherwise on all wide receiver evaluations. Because again, if you can get Corey Davis, a first round draft pick that's going to be in this next year's draft at Western Michigan, like, I'm going to trust wide receiver evaluations. And from early indications, there's going to be a lot of wide receivers in this 2017 class. And then we get to a couple of early enrollees. One being Trenton Guthrie, a linebacker we have in the top 75 from Michigan. He is going to be enrolling early, so he's going to be on campus for spring ball. And then so is the quarterback in Tanner Morgan. And what you have to know with Tanner is the quarterback recruiting under PJ Fleck opposed to Jerry Kill and Tracy Clays is completely different, and I think that is for the good. Because you look at what Jerry and Tracy wanted. They wanted guys that if quarterback didn't work out, they wanted them to be able to play another position. And I did not agree with that. I know it's easy to say in hindsight and easy to take shots then, but why can't you just recruit a strict, you know, a guy that is only going to play quarterback, and if quarterback doesn't work out, he's just going to transfer. Like, that right. happens all the time with quarterbacks anyway. But both Jerry and Tracy had the philosophy that if quarterback doesn't work out for them, I want them to be able to play another position. So Tanner is strictly a quarterback. Tanner has the athleticism that maybe not the other Gopher quarterbacks do, but he has enough athleticism to get out of trouble. And his arm talent is unquestioned to me. And I think he should be someone you're excited about and you should be excited to come watch in spring ball. Then we get to a couple of offensive linemen. Again, we have them highly, you know, these are mid three-star guys. John Michael Schmidt, an offensive lineman that I know Bart Miller was looking at in his time here. He was a top 55 offensive lineman. He is from Illinois. He had a couple of Power 5 offers. And then Kyle Sasek from Notre Dame Prep out in Michigan is someone that I know we at scout.com are higher on than others. Just because Alan True, our Midwest analyst, is from Michigan. He has seen all these guys live, and he thinks pretty highly of them compared to the other talent he's seen around the Midwest and around the country. So that's the nice thing about having Alan on our side, is because he is always on the road trying to see live evaluations of these kids, because you always can watch tape, but maybe that doesn't tell the full story when you see them in person. So I feel very, very good about where these kids are ranked. And then we have Mohammed Ibrahim. We here at scout.com have him as a two-star. He is from Maryland. He's someone that PJ offered. He was uncommitted until Minnesota offered, and he decided to pull the trigger there. I'd say of all the new commits, Mohammed has the most to prove. I just think that watching his senior tape compared to some of the other guys, I think that he's going to have to prove himself here at Minnesota more than most. And then we have, I'm not entirely sure what this guy's going to end up being, and that's Nate Ulmer. He is a defensive end, a mid three-star kid again from Michigan. And I think there's the options for him at what position are pretty limitless, because we have him listed at defensive end, but he was offered at tight end. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him grow into an offensive tackle. Again, we'll have to see what happens when he comes to campus, but if he balloons up to 275 easily in his redshirt season, I mean, you can realistically say you can use that athleticism at guard or tackle and put some more weight on him and keep him there. So when you look at the tight end position in terms of how many guys Minnesota's recruiting there, we'll have to see how that pans out. And then a couple more guys, just two more guys to talk about. One is Tyrone Chambers, a top 80 defensive tackle from Ohio. You should be excited about him because Ole Miss offered him earlier, and he decided that he didn't want to wait out on a chance to play for Coach Fleck. So again, he commits sight unseen. And then finally is Mr. Jacob Paulson, someone I'm very, very excited about. Loved his tape when the old staff was recruiting him and the new staff decided they really wanted to push forward with him. We have him rated as the 10th best tight end in the Midwest. He's a top 40 tight end in the country. someone from Kentucky, Louisville once again, someone that had Illinois, Syracuse, and he was scheduled to go on an LSU official visit this weekend where he would have been offered from what my LSU sources were saying. So again, PJ beats out LSU. So, you know, more or less. So, it, you know, it's something to where there's 21 commits right now. I think that number ends up somewhere on 20, 27, 28, 29. And again, you may be thinking, well, can't Minnesota only sign 25? Well, no, not technically, because you can sign three back, and there's some other NCAA rules that I won't get into to confuse you even more, that they could potentially get up to 30, 31. So the nice thing about it is the guys that he's trying to finish out this class with, he's going to be swinging high for the fences and trying to hit that home run. And early indications are that he's having some success doing so. But again, he's got 20 days to make sure they all sign on the dotted line. So 21 current commits, and there's one other offer I think folks should know about. It's one I know I've been clamoring for many months, and that's Crosby Ironton's Noah Gindorf, who's currently committed to North Dakota State. From the moment I saw him live in April at a camp in Chicago, I knew that this kid was going to have a high ceiling. He's 6'6", 240 pounds, runs like a gazelle, jumps like a gazelle. I mean, this kid is uberly athletic, and Minnesota finally pulled the trigger on him under this new staff. He's going to be coming on an unofficial tomorrow. So by the time you read this, he may or may not have flipped. We'll have to see, but I know that's someone I'm very excited about potentially being a Golden Gopher as well. So PJ Fleck and staff have been busy. They're out on the road tonight. PJ's out in Portland, Oregon, seeing a former Gopher legacy recruit by the name of Demetrius Douglas. You'll know his father, Omar Douglas. You'll remember that historic game he had against Purdue back in his playing days. I believe he had something ridiculous, like 3 or 5 touchdowns in one game. And that is his son now, Demetrius, that they are recruiting. So that was your "Do you feel old?" moment of the day, brought to you by Luke Buehr and his dog Taco. So it's been pretty hectic. I know Friday night, I was planning on taking the girlfriend out for dinner, and then PJ Fleck decides to get 6 commits in one night, and she was not a happy camper. And then Sunday night there was a wave of 4 more. So it's been
a whirlwind. It sounds like
it's been quite the 7 days. And again, 20 days until signing day, another potential 8-9 commits. I mean, I can tell you my phone battery is absolutely atrocious, and I will keep complaining about it because my phone died today at 62%, which is just absurd. And I just perpetually have it plugged into something, whether it's a power pack or a wall charger, and it's part of the gig. But for those of you who can sustain a full day of an iPhone without dying on you, may God bless your souls, because I wish I was in your shoes.
All right, Ryan. So, I mean, I guess your life's been a whirlwind. I imagine you're drinking. I don't know if you maybe actually have gotten an IV of coffee at this point. Like, I mean, it sounds like kind of brutal, actually.
It's part of the job, man. I love it. I mean, this is half the reason I'm in it is I love recruiting. I can't get enough of recruiting. I love trying to find out each and everything that I can find out for our Gopher Illustrated members. And that's the fun part about it is you never know what's around the next bend in recruiting. I could tell you something here as we're recording, and 15 minutes later that it's out of date information because there's a new coach that came into the picture, a new offer, a new visit set. I love how it's ever changing, and that's you know, half my drive with Gopher Illustrated is I love recruiting. Can't get enough recruiting, and I want to make sure our members are starting to get some of that same passion. So, yeah, whether that's more, you know, cups of coffee, whether that's, you know, whatever it may be, I love burning the midnight oil this time of year. It's really exciting for me, but I can tell you once signing day comes and goes, I'm going to be sleeping like a – I don't even know. I'm going to sleep fantastic on February 1st.
Maybe even elite.
I will be having an elite night of sleep because I will be rowing the boat in my dreams. It's going to be elite.
All right. So let's actually talk a little bit about the staff that will be working with PJ Fleck. This has kind of been getting ironed out the last couple of days. If I'm correct, I believe that today
they got 8 of the 9 now.
Okay, 8 of the 9.
We're recording this, maybe by the time you listen to this, they filled that final slot. But
yeah. Okay, so
they do have 8 of the 9.
And then it sounds like they'll probably be able to get a 10th. That sounded like that's almost a done deal, right? Like they'll be able with the whole like rules that the NCAA has. I don't know.
It sounds like that. There was a coaches convention this weekend.
Yeah.
Or these past few days, I should say. And it sounded very optimistic that they're going to be able to add a 10th college coach to the coaching staff.
Okay.
And if that's the case, you know, I think that's going to be, you know, and I'll talk about it here, but I guess I can get into it now. Mike Sheros has had some medical things go down this week. Again, they were planned. I don't want anybody to worry about that. He's doing just fine, but it's going to take some time to recover here. So maybe that 10th, you know, coaching spot should go to Mike Sheros in terms of a couple months from now, he's going to be in a much better place health wise.
Sure.
But we'll see what happens. But yeah, that 10th assistant coach is looking optimistic.
All right. So let's just get a quick rundown on some of these new assistant coaches. I imagine actually being able to find information is a little bit precarious at this juncture because, you know, they'll have left their certain job. So their bio might be down on one website or
as Luke is going to talk about me trying to find a bio on these guys to kind of read off to you in terms of cliff notes on what I know about them. I know, tough life for me. I can't find biographies, but it's in that weird limbo stage where they're not at their old job, so they took their page off, but the University of Minnesota hasn't acknowledged them yet, so they don't have a bio.
Yeah.
So like, it's in that weird in between stage. And again, some of the stuff I'm going to be telling you about them is just things I've heard from other coaches, things I've heard about them from other people who've talked to them. But I guess we should start with new offensive coordinator in Kirk Sriracha. And I'm sure I butchered that terribly too. But what you need to know about Kirk is, and this is how I love to bring it back in, is he arguably developed an elite quarterback. Now, there are a lot of NFL people who don't know if this quarterback is elite or not. Now, Luke, I don't know if you know this, but do you know who the quarterback is that I am referencing in terms of who NFL fans love to debate about? If he's elite.
Actually, I do. His name's Joe Flacco.
Joe freaking Flacco. So when coach here, new offensive coordinator, Kirk. Oh, my gosh.
Go with Sriracha. It's like the favorite condiment.
I think it's Sriracha. I'm pretty sure it's Sriracha. I don't want to like Sriracha like you know what I mean. I think it's Sriracha. So. He was at the University of Delaware when Joe was there, and he was the offensive coordinator quarterbacks coach, and he helped develop Joe, obviously, into an arguably questionable elite quarterback in the NFL. So he's played a large role there. And then obviously with the Western Michigan quarterback, who's now going to have NFL aspirations after having one of the best seasons in FBS this year. I mean, his completion percentage was off the charts. His touchdown to interception ratio was off the charts. I mean, if you're going to trust a quarterback – or a guy to develop a quarterback and score points, I think Mr. Sriracha is someone that you should probably feel pretty good about. So he's going to be handling the offensive coordinator duties, and he's someone I believe that Western Michigan put up something ridiculous, like 37 or 47 points a game this past year. Again, I know the MAC's a different beast than the Big Ten, but, I mean, that's something that has to have you pretty excited. And then we look at the running back coach. I know Derek's going to be excited about this one. And now, do you know why I would say that, Luke?
Because, no, I have no idea.
Kenny Burns is the new running backs coach, according to Football Scoop tonight.
So is he
third
is
cousin
he...
of the podcast, Mr. Kenny Burns.
Got it.
Kenny. So what you need to know about Mr. Kenny Burns? Well, what you need to know is he was at North Dakota State from 2011 to 2013. He was a part of their national championship run. I believe he started it. I also believe he was going out to Wyoming with Craig Bohl. When Craig Bohl left North Dakota State to go to Wyoming, he followed him there. He ultimately went to PJ Flex, Western Michigan. So he's someone that's going to be joining the staff as the running backs coach. So we'll have to see how things go there. But it's always good to have another Burns on the staff. Isn't that right, Luke?
It doesn't hurt, especially when they are so closely related.
Yeah. So the next guy we'll talk about is wide receiver coach Matt Simon. He is from Farmington, I believe. So a Minnesota kid gets to come back home. And again, if you want to trust wide receiver talent evaluations, again, Matt, played a part in getting Corey Davis there, and he played a huge part in his development, obviously being his position coach for so long. So, that's something positive there. And also, so a Minnesota kid gets to come home, someone that just developed a first-round draft pick out at Western Michigan. I think he's probably the most excited of the bunch to get home here.
You think there's anything to the rumors that he was maybe being considered for the Western Michigan position as head coach? Or is that more the...
I heard more that Coach Shiraka was one that was potentially lobbying, but I know that from talking with some people in some back channels that Kirk really wanted to, the new offensive coordinator really wanted to come here to Minnesota.
Okay.
And then we get to the position, Luke, where I am the most excited about.
Yeah.
It is our offensive line and tight ends,
Coach. Yeah, you mentioned that in the pre-production meeting only, I think I'd have written down here, about 8 times.
Well, they're elite.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And why I say that, folks, is so Ed Warner and Brian Callahan, they have been named Football Scoop's Offensive Line Coaches of the Year. And Warner was in 2012 and 2014. And Brian Callahan was the 2016 Offensive Line Coach of the Year. So he's the amount of pedigree, and for those who don't know what Football Scoop is, it's basically the online publication where these are the inside sources guys. These are the guys that spend a lot of time around college football. It is what they do. And for Minnesota to get arguably one of the best offensive line coaches in the country, and Ed Warner, he was the offensive coordinator at Ohio State this past season. And the story goes that from talking with some Ohio State people, if Ohio State loses a game or two, someone has to take the blame besides Urban Meyer. And Ed being the offensive coordinator, really in his first time doing that, because just before that, he'd really only been more or less the offensive line guy.
Right.
He did have some pretty good things going on at Kansas when he was there. He's also been, his last two stops anyway have been Ohio State and Notre Dame. But what he's known for isn't necessarily his play calling. It's for developing offensive linemen. He really knows how to do that. And so Ed Warner coming here should be a very good thing. And then when you look at Brian Callahan, again, as I said, the offensive line coach of the year this past year, both of his tackles were first team all Mac. And I believe he had another guard that was second team, and both tackles are going to have NFL looks. And he beat out other Big Ten schools to land his tackles back in 2012. It's just, you can't be more excited, in my opinion, in terms of offensive line development than what you have under Brian Callahan, who's going to, I believe, have tackles and tight ends. And then Ed Warner is going to have just the offensive line in general, but he's going to have an emphasis on the interior of the offensive line. So a couple of very, very good teachers there, my friend.
So, not to throw people under the bus, but both of these guys have had players go to the NFL, something that the previous offensive line coach, not named
Bart Miller,
had no success doing.
I'm not going to confirm or deny that, but for Jonah Persig to be the first offensive lineman since Jerry Kill took over to get a sniff at the NFL is just frankly unacceptable. I think that would have changed under Bart Miller, but I think you have two fantastic teachers and two fantastic offensive line evaluators and Ed Warner and Brian Callahan, and I'm very excited to see what offensive line development and recruiting happens with PJ Fleck and these two in the group now.
All right, so let's talk. I think that pretty much rounds out the offensive side of the ball, right? Let's talk defense. This is I think this is going to be a little bit more of a sensitive subject for most Gopher fans.
I think for you specifically, it's going to be extremely.
Yeah, it is. I guess for me, my frustration prior to this staff was that, quite frankly, we didn't play very good defense ever. And that to me was very frustrating. I think, because this staff was this the previous staff, being Clays and Kill, were able to find a defensive identity. It kept them in a lot of football games, and sometimes maybe in games they really shouldn't have been in. And I appreciate a defensive first mentality. And I was pretty bummed to see Savelle not retained. I will be honest, it was pretty disappointing to me.
Yeah. If folks couldn't tell, Jay Savelle and I, obviously with me almost getting him here on the podcast, we knew each other pretty well. And so I'm sad to see him go. But in that same respect, I don't think people should discredit these defensive coaches because it's not Jay Savelle. Wherever Jay ends up, I'm sure he'll be successful and whatnot, but it's going to be interesting because, PJ is going to bring the spark on the offensive side of the ball from what his past history has shown you. I mean, he's a wide receiver coach at heart. So again, wide receiver development, wide receiver talent evaluation, wide receiver recruiting with him and Matt Simon should go up. But can they sustain what Minnesota was able to do under Tracy Clays and Jay Savelle on defense?
Yeah.
That's going to be the major question, and we'll have to see with new defensive coordinator Rob Smith. And I know the initial reaction from the internet was Rob Smith is a terrible hire. Folks, I don't believe that. I know Shocker, the Gopher guy, doesn't believe it was a terrible hire. It's not like he would tell you if he did, but – What people forget about Rob Smith and what they look at is his last 2 years, and I'm guilty of it as well. I mean, I looked at his last 2 years at Arkansas where he was the defensive coordinator, and the statistics don't look very good. Now, when you start digging a little deeper, that's when things get a little bit more interesting. All right, so when he was the defensive coordinator at the University of Maine, yes, that Maine up in the northeastern part of the United States, an FCS program, he had a top five defense. Like, I can't put into words how tough it is for Maine, the University of Maine, to maintain a top five defense for the amount of athletes that they'd have to recruit. He did wonders there, and that's how he got on with Greg Schiano that next year at Rutgers, where he worked his way from special teams coordinator all the way up to defensive coordinator in 2012, where Rutgers had its best season in, I don't even know how many years, 50, 60 years, where they had that 9-win season. They were ranked for a period of time. And a large part of that was because of the defense. I believe he held opponents to 14 points a game. They were allowing under 100 yards a game. They were 10th in total defense. I mean, they were just flat out phenomenal. And again, so there's some history there. And then in 2014, people forget, Rob Smith saved Brett Bielema's job at Arkansas. He was a Broyles Award nominee, a semifinalist, I believe. The Broyles Award is the nation's top assistant coach. So, and he did things in 2014 when he got there. He turned around the season. He turned around this defense. And from what I've been told about the Arkansas people about the last two seasons in terms of why things have taken a tailspin down, it sounds like Brett had his hand too much in defense and it was messing with things that Rob didn't want him to mess with. So, I mean, some of that plays a part. But, Rob is someone that, again, from the Greg Schiano tree that PJ Fleck is from. So that, there's your connection there. And he also turned down the Wake Forest job in terms of the defensive coordinator coming to Minnesota. So, like, folks, Rob Smith didn't forget how to coach. Like, there's a reason he coached a top five defense at Maine. There's a reason he was a large part of that turnaround at Rutgers in 2012. And there's a reason he saved Brett Bielema's job in 2014. The man didn't just forget how to be a defensive coordinator. So, again, I'm a big of a Jay Savelle Bobo is the next one for obvious reasons. But I think we have to give Rob Smith a chance here, for a couple years to see what he can do with his defense, because we know some of the talent is there. Now, what is he going to be able to do with it in that same respect is a large question. And obviously, if the defense looks like crap after, 2 years from now, we'll have something to talk about. But give the man a chance is all I'm asking.
Yeah. I'm going to give him a chance. I don't want the standard to be, well, we're just going to outscore everybody, right? And I don't think that should be accepted when we've been able to have the defensive success that we've had the last, 3-5 years.
No, and I think that's fine. It's just just the immediate reaction was everybody listening to, Arkansas fans who have seen their defense struggle the last 2 years. And again, they're so quick to forget that 2014, I mean, the dude turned around your defense. He saved your head coach's job.
Sure.
Now your head coach tried to meddle with things too much. And that's why you see that he was potentially on the out. So again, I don't think Rob Smith forgot how to coach. I think a brand new start here is a good thing for him, but I think he deserves a chance. And I'm pretty excited to see what he can do with the amount of talent that is on this defense.
All right. So who will be joining him on the defensive staff? I think at this point there are a couple of jobs that are still haven't been filled, but some have been identified.
Yeah, defensive line is still open, and so is linebackers coach. So again, they filled 8 of the 9 slots here, and that's where it's going to be interesting to see what they do as far as do they fill the D-line spot or the linebacker. So,
yeah,
if they leave linebacker open, I think that's a pretty clear indication to you that Mike Sherrills is likely going to be that 10th assistant coach, which I think we all, would love to see. But the defensive backs coach, and it came out last night, I know we talked about it on Gopher Illustrated, is Maurice Linguist. He's someone that was Mississippi State's safety coach this last season. He's someone that was at Iowa State as the defending passing game coordinator. 2014, 2015, he had that same role at Buffalo. Someone that played, I believe, at Baylor. He was a pretty good player there. And from talking with my Mississippi State guy about him, he's someone that alerted me to this hiring and everything about it. And first thing he said to me is he is a fantastic coach and his best days are ahead of him. And I'm really angry to see him go because I think he would have been a very good recruiter and developer. He said, the safeties were a group that were very tight with him, and they saw an increase in play in terms of how well they were playing under Linguist. So I'm not exactly I'm not exactly sure the connection here, outside of I know that there were a couple of connections to Iowa State
sure.
from previous staffs, but he's a young guy too. He was born in 84. So what is that? So if I was born in 92, so he's only 32 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be a young dog, and I know he has been out on the road working feverishly today, trying to make sure these defensive backs, and there's going to need plenty of them, can do some things here at the University of Minnesota. So the final guy we got to talk about is there is a special teams coordinator. His name is Rob Wengner. And I'm sure I can probably butcher more things than not about, what Mr. Wengner's about, but he's just the special teams coordinator. He joined the staff at Western Michigan as a graduate assistant prior to the 2013 season, and now he's been a part of it. He's coming over to fill that special teams coordinator. So a group of special teams that has been the top 10 the last couple of years here, hopefully he can sustain things and do some things in the recruiting trail as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It should be interesting. It'll also be interesting to see this the staff round out into form, and they're going to need them, right? Like you said, signing day is what, it's maybe 20 days away. I mean, it's right around the corner, and they got to finish out a class and then get into spring practice and get after things and install their new system. So it's interesting times at the University of Minnesota. That's for sure. And I think it's in fairly so. There's some excitement that goes along with the PJ Fleck brand.
Oh, I think absolutely. I think, fans are excited to talk Gophers again, because that whole month of December, if you were a Gophers fan, I'm sure you're listening to this, you know what I'm talking about. People come up to you and they'd only want to talk about the scandal, and they'd only want to bash the University of Minnesota. And then Christmas time comes around with family, and that's all they want to talk about. And they make fun of you for being a Gopher fan. And now here we are on January 12th, and there's so much positive light about it. I mean, wherever you go, if you bring up the Gophers, you're going to bring up, PJ Fleck, row the boat. And it's a good time to be a Gopher fan again. Again, there hasn't been this amount of genuine excitement around this program in a long time. So, hopefully we can, or PJ can bring in some new fans to the stadium, and hopefully the product in the field is still 7-8 win quality as he continues to try and get his new system, his new guy, his new culture in general established here in year one. But we'll have to see. There's a lot of excitement. I know that there's going to be a lot of exciting recruiting tales and twists and turns on Gopher Illustrated here. So again, we've seen over 100 signups in the last week. I mean, there's a lot of people excited about Gopher Illustrated. If you're one of those people, I encourage you to head onto the board. We got a lot of people talking Gophers. You have the Luke's basketball team that I watched my first Gopher basketball game of the season last night.
And it will be your last that you'll watch all season for the record.
Yeah, I told Luke at halftime, this is the first game I've watched. He told me, immediately turn it off. I don't want you watching this anymore. So I'm apparently a bad luck charm for Gopher basketball now.
Yes.
But you got a basketball team that's performing admirably. I mean, they're a top 25 team right now between basketball and football and the hockey teams and everything going on here. It's a fantastic time to check out Gopher Illustrated if you haven't already. And I don't know if there's really much more to say, Luke, before we
you should probably pub your Goal Line Club event next week, a week from today.
Yeah, I think I mentioned it a little bit to start, but so next Thursday, a week from as we're recording this, on Thursday, January 19th at 6 p.m., the Goal Line Club, Minnesota's football booster club, is going to be at Stub and Herb's down in Stadium Village, right next to the stadium there. We're just going to be talking a lot of Gophers. So, you know, if you've listened to the podcast for a long time and you have a free Thursday night next week, I encourage you to come down to Stub and Herb's. I'm going to be talking Gopher recruiting, Gopher football. Ryan James is also going to be there. Basketball publisher.
No
so
way.
So if you have any basketball-related questions, the man is the all-knowing. And I can promise you, I don't even know if Ryan listens to these, but if you ask him a five-word question, he will give you a five-minute answer. And I'm sure Luke can attest to that for his Talk Gopher Buckets podcast. So if you want to know about Gopher basketball, I encourage you to put in your podcasting app, Talk Gopher Buckets. Ryan and Luke really get after it and get in depth there. But
it gets real nerdy.
Oh, we love it. I mean, you know that it gets real nerdy here when we get Derek and we're talking about offensive line play. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. So next Thursday night, 6 p.m. is I think sometime around there it's supposed to start. I'm going to be there probably till at least 9, 10, 11 o'clock. Having a couple cold beverages and knowing that it's going to be happening that night, I'm sure there's going to be three commits, but that is what it is. I want to talk Gophers with each and every one of you. So I'll be talking up there and having a couple of cold beverages and just enjoying the night. So next Thursday night, 6 p.m., Stub and Herb's in Stadium Village.
All right. Thanks for listening, you guys, and go Gophers.